are in this series called Summer in the Psalms, and I hope that it's been of value to you. If you have a Bible this morning, if you want to follow along, we're going to be in Psalms 142. Psalms 142 is where we're going to find ourselves. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's no problem. The words are going to be up there on the screens. They're also going to be available for you if you have your phone with you and you want to go to todayssermon.com, todayssermon.com. It'll give you some of our sermon notes. You can save that for later if that would be of any value to you. Just quick show of hands. I need a little bit of participation. How many of you would classify yourself as an adventure seeker? Where's my adventure seekers? I see a couple. I see a few adventure seekers. I am also an adventure seeker. I love the feel of adrenaline. For example, sometimes, this will blow you away. Sometimes when I go to a restaurant, I order chicken and beef fajitas instead of just beef. And the adrenaline rush I get from that is wild. It's intense. It's intense. Sometimes, and I don't do this very often because it's just too much for my heart to take. Sometimes I take a different route to work. It's crazy. I have a normal route that I go, but some mornings I'm just feeling frisky. And I take a different route, and that's all the adventure that I can handle for the day. I don't need adventure in my life. Has anybody ever went cave exploring? Anybody ever went on vacation? Melanie has. You went cave exploring. You guys have. If you later on today are just feeling a little too calm and you want to add some anxiety into your life, Google tight caves and you will see pictures of people that are on their back just barely trying to get through these caves. And I did this last night just in an experiment and I could barely sleep all night. It bothered me. It was a real problem for me. I just am not interested in that. But the thing about a cave, some people find it fascinating. They're unexplored places. And I just wonder about the first person that like said to themselves, hey, I wonder what's down that cave hole. Let's go down there and just see what happens. I just wonder who the first person was. And I'd like to meet them. I don't want to be them. But I just think it's a fascinating, fascinating life. Today, in our psalm, David, who's the author of this psalm, finds himself in a cave. And it's not a cave because he wants to be exploring. It's a cave because he is on the run. There's two times that we know of in David's life that he feared for his life from King Saul. And he ran to the places that he could hopefully get away. And two times he found himself in a cave, just hoping. This is after he killed Goliath, but before he had become king, people were out for blood. His life was chaotic and crazy. Two different times he finds himself hiding away in this cave, just desperate situations, all by himself. And we find in Psalm 142 a little poem, a little song that he wrote about his experience there. And I just want to read, before we get into it, let me just read you his experience from verse number 4 of this psalm. This is to see if you can relate to this feeling of David while he's sitting in the darkness of the cave, wondering if the person is going to figure out where he's at and his life is going to be over. He says, I look to the right and I see no one. No one's standing up for me. There's no refuge for me. Nobody cares about me. And that's what Psalm 142 shares us. That what we're going to discover, because you found yourself in a similar state, because isn't it true that external things in our life can bring us to these internal, if we could use the metaphor, caves, where it's just dark and feel isolated. We're not sure any way out. We're not sure how it's all going to work out. David found himself in a literal physical cave, but also in that metaphorical emotional cave where I just don't know what's happening. And he finds himself in a place that you maybe find yourself. Nobody's here for me. I feel all alone. I don't feel like anybody is coming to bat for me. I feel like I've always went to bat for somebody else and nobody's coming to bat for me. What am I going to do? But Psalm 142, if you ever find yourself there, if you find yourself there today, if you find yourself here in the future where it just seems so dark and how am I going to ever escape this? Psalm 142 is a beautiful message for you to kind of hold on to for you to read and to memorize and to think through, because it portrays the simultaneous life that we live sometimes of I have trouble, but I also can have assurance. Sometimes in the life of faith, we think that it's one or the other, that the trouble comes, and because trouble comes, my assurance and my hope goes down, and then life is going good, and so my hope and my assurance is up, but the reason that my hope and assurance is up is because trouble is down. What David is going to show us today, and what I hope will carry you through the next quote-unquote cave of your life, is that those two can be like railroad tracks, that they can go parallel with each other, that your hope is not dependent and your faith and your confidence is not dependent on, am I in a great place in life? That you can, just like David, I can have trouble and I can be discouraged and I don't see any way out, and at the same time, I have hope. Jesus kind of mentioned this same thing in John chapter 16, verse 33. You don't have to turn there, but you can just write it down for yourself sometime later. He's given his disciples this pep talk. He's at the end of his life, and he's kind of explaining some things. And he said, I tell you these things so that in me you can have peace. That's the promise. That's the hope that we have in God. In this world, you're going to have suffering. Like, things are not going to go well all the time. And I wish that that wasn't true, but your reality spells that out. You've lived out this verse. I have had suffering. You have had suffering in this world. And Jesus didn't say, I've come so that you don't have that. He's not saying that because you live this life of faith, you won't experience suffering. He's saying in the middle of that suffering, as you're going through trouble, have that other railroad track, you can be courageous. At the end of the day, I've conquered the world. At the end of the day, no matter what you find yourself facing, I am stronger than it. I am bigger than it. And what our faith allows us to do, as our faith allows us to say, I have a struggle, I am going through a challenge, I can acknowledge the reality of my human condition. I'm not asking us to put our head in the sand. I can acknowledge the reality of my human condition, that I'm single and I didn't think I would be single. I'm married, but it's not going well. I'm struggling with facing all the bills and what about my job? All those human conditions that all of us face, while believing at the same time in the work of a divine God who knows our current place from the future. And so the power of Psalm 142, it allows us to openly confess, man, I'm in a rough place. I'm not doing well, and my hope is in God. I don't have to choose between the two. And my hope for you is that you can get to the place where your faith is strong enough that you can endure some times in the cave, and your faith in God can grow at the same time. I think that David's faith, when he came out of this experience, when he was finished in the cave and when his life was no longer in danger from Saul, he was able to say, even on those dark days where it didn't feel like anybody was with me, when I felt all alone and isolated and under attack, even then I knew that God was with me. And with the gift of hindsight, David recognizes there was never a moment that God wasn't with me. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm just going to read this whole psalm. It's only 7 verses. And then we're going to pull out some things that hopefully will add some value to your life. Psalm 142 verses 1 through 7 says this: I cry aloud to the Lord. I plead aloud to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. I reveal my trouble to him. Although my spirit is weak within me, you know my way. Along this path I travel. They've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see no one stands up for me. There's no refuge for me. Nobody cares about me. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from the prison so that I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me because you deal generously with me. So just a few things to gather out of that. Hopefully we'll add some value and grow your faith. Some of your translations will say at the very top, we're not going to have it on the screen, but at the very top, before verse 1 in my translation, it kind of gives a heading. Some of yours might say it as well. But mine says, a maskal of David, which is just a type of poetry, when he was in the cave, a prayer. Here's what I love about it, that in your life, when you find yourself, when external things have caused some internal pressure and some internal, if we could just use the illustration, the cave, great news for us, prayers don't require a particular place. That no matter where you find yourself, you are invited to pray. That you don't have to wait till Sunday at 10:15. You don't have to wait to go to confession. You don't have to wait to go to a particular place. Wherever you find yourself, you are invited to pray. David found himself praying in a cave. Not only that, but you don't have to wait for me. Now, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to hug you and put my arm around you, and I will absolutely, what an honor it would be for me to pray with you. You don't have to wait for me to pray. Did you know, and this, just to be very clear, my prayers are not any more powerful or helpful than your prayers. I know that I strap on a microphone and stand up on a stage. That does not give me any type of direct access to God, any kind of special line to God that you don't have. I'm just a guy just like you. I don't have anything special going on in me. And so I'd love to pray with you, but if you're waiting on me to pray with you, you're waiting too long. That prayers don't require a particular place. And then just to give you a little bit of openness this morning, prayers also don't have to be particularly pretty. That you say, well, I can pray, but what do I even say? Whatever you got going on. It doesn't have to be this beautifully worded, use $10 words prayer. Just the word help. What a great prayer. Did you know that sometimes tears can be prayers? Can't even say it. Don't even have words. It's just a prayer. They don't have to be pretty. You don't have to have things memorized, and you don't have to have all of these words just right. God is not this crossword puzzle to solve, that I have all the right words and does everything match up, and if I say it just the right way, then maybe God will listen, but if I don't say it the right way, then God's not gonna hear me, No. Listen, I mean, read it again for yourself later. David's prayer is not pretty. He's saying, God, I've got some complaints. God, I've got some problems. God, matter of fact, sometimes it feels like you're not here. And so he can express those doubts and those frustrations, even when those doubts and frustrations involve God, and you're able to do that too. That even on your dark times where external things have caused some internal problems, if that brings out from you frustration with God, listen, God already sees it. He already knows that's happening. So you just as well say, God, I'm feeling this. I don't feel this way. David shows us all through Psalms, so much of Psalms, not only David, but the other authors, so many Psalms are just laments where they're complaining and they're saying, God, what is going on? And so your prayers don't have to be in a particular place and they don't have to be particularly pretty. But I want to show you this morning four things that you can pray. Three of them are promises that you can absolutely have. The last one is not a promise, but you're still invited to pray. That if you find yourself in a cave and you're not sure what to pray and you're not sure how to pray, David shows us four things that we can pray. Again, three of them are 100% guarantees that you can have from God. And the last one, we're still invited even though it's not a promise. So if you find yourself in a cave and you're wondering, what do I pray and how should I pray and what about this? David reminds us the first one is that we can pray for wisdom. We find ourselves in a cave oftentimes because we just don't know which way to go, what things to do, what direction should I take, what job should I take, should I attend this or should I go to this? And we find ourselves in that anxiety of which direction should I go? I just don't know how this whole thing is going to work out. If you've never been in a cave of uncertainty, I'm jealous of you because I found myself in an uncertainty cave more times than I care to admit. Some of you find yourself there today. You just say, I'm in this cave and I don't know whether to go left. I don't know whether to go right. I don't know if we should start. I don't know if we should stop. I just know I feel so much frustration and anxiety. David says, hey, in that moment, you're invited to pray for wisdom. Look at verse number 3 for us. Although my spirit is weak within me, I don't know what to do. What does David say? You know the way. You know which way I'm supposed to go. You know the thing that I'm supposed to do. And so you are invited because God loves you, because God can see further than you can see, because God knows more than I know. I can say, God, you know the way that I should go. You know the direction that I should be taking. And so I'm just asking, can you give me a little slice of the wisdom that you already have available? Write these down if you're struggling with wisdom. Two verses that might encourage you a little bit. Psalm 25, verse 4 says it this way. Make your ways, what a great prayer. Make your ways known to me. God, my heart is to follow you. My heart is to go where you want me to go and to be led by you. And so make your ways known to me. Give me wisdom. There's some things that I don't know. Lord, teach me your path. Where am I supposed to go? Should I take this job? Should I take this job? Should we go to this purchase? All the little things that you have to decide through your day. You don't have to decide those on your own. You don't have to use your own ability and your own process of seeing around the corner. Man, God's wisdom is available. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Then you just got to be willing. This is the harder part. I'll be willing to wait. I don't want to rush into something. How many of us have times and seasons of our life where we've regretted rushing into something? You ever regret rushing into a relationship and you look back 10 years later or 6 months later and what in the world was I thinking? Why would I think that that was the right relationship to do? What? It's because I can ask for wisdom, but sometimes I've got to wait. James, the brother of Jesus, he says this. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, some of you are there today. You're in this crossroads. Which way should I go? So you raise your hand. Yep. I lack wisdom. What should I do with that? Should I just Google it? Get a little self-help book? Those are all good. I'm not anti those things. But James, the brother of Jesus, he understood that a promise that you have available to you, that you can ask God, who gives to, listen to this word, all. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're included in all. You're part of that. That he, not only does he give to all, he gives it generously. God's not playing hide and seek with wisdom. God's not playing, I think I'm just gonna let him struggle a little bit. I think I'm just gonna let that anxiety boil up a little bit. It's kind of fun for me to toy with him. That's not the God of Scripture. He said, man, if you lack wisdom, he should ask a God who gives generously to all and ungrudgingly. In other words, God's not saying, you should have this figured out by now. Yeah, I can't believe you're dealing with this again. No, he's not being a curmudgeon-y guy in the sky saying, okay, I'll give it to him, but I'm not happy about it. You that are fathers, you know this. How awesome is it when your kids come and ask you for a little wisdom? Isn't that awesome? Isn't it the greatest thing when you know already the solution, but you're kind of letting your kids work it out on your own, and eventually they come and say, Dad, Mom, what do you think about this? What do you think? Isn't there something in you that lights up? It's, oh, man, I'd love to help you. I'd love to give you some direction, and I'd love to give you some insight. Here's what good parents do. They want to help their kids avoid pain. They want to help them move in a direction that will be the best for them because you see some things that your kids can't see. And sometimes you kind of sit back and you say, I'm available to help if they want help, but you're waiting for them to ask. You have a Heavenly Father who's just ready. He's willing to give you wisdom. He wants to help you to avoid some pain. How many of us have avoidable regret in our life? Because we said, I think I know best. I think I'm just gonna rush into this. I'm going to not ask for advice. I'm not gonna ask for wisdom. And we get into it and we say, oh, no. Now I've got this debt I've got to deal with. Now I've got to apologize. I've got a relationship that's all messed up. What would your life have looked like? How many regrets could you have avoided? How many regrets could have I avoided if I would have just paused and said, God, I need some wisdom. I need some direction. So, prayers, man, they don't have to be in a particular place. They don't have to be particularly pretty. And when you pray, you find yourself in that cave of indecision. Go ahead and pray for wisdom. Sometimes you find yourself, though, in a cave of, I just feel all alone. I just don't feel like anybody's coming to bat for me. I feel like the people that I thought I was going to count on are nowhere to be found. I felt like the people that I could really count on kind of stabbed me in the back. Some of you have been there. And so David reminds us, not only can we pray for wisdom, that we can pray for presence. He says this in verse number 5. I cried to you, Lord. I say, you are my shelter. In other words, I know that you're here. I know that you're with me. My portion in the land of the living. Now, we don't have it on the screen, but just notice the difference of verse number 4 and verse number 5. Again, it's not going to be on the screen, but if you have a Bible, you can look at it. Look to the right and see. No one stands up to me. So he's saying, no one's here for me. I stood up for other people. They didn't stand up for me. There's no refuge for me. No one cares about me. And so David is in one sentence saying, I've got nothing. I've got no one. I've got no place to go. I've got no place to hide. And then it's almost as if he says, but wait a minute. It might be true that every other physical person has ran away. It might be true that I've been ran out of my hometown and Saul is trying to pin me against the wall with a spear. But wait a minute. Verse number 5, let me just read it again. You are my shelter. One sentence ago, he says, I don't have any shelter. But he realizes, wait, in spite of everything and in spite of the chaos, God, you're here with me. Nobody else is. My friends aren't. My family is there. They're in a whole other place. I'm here all alone. I'm in a literal cave. I don't think anybody's here. Oh, wait. Even here, God is with me. I have no refuge. That's what some of you feel like maybe today. I don't think anybody's coming to bat for me. David reminds us to pull back for just a second. Oh, God is still with me. That God's presence is here. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we're not aware of God's presence. Sometimes we don't necessarily tune in to God's presence. But what Scripture promises us is that there has never been a moment of our life where God has left us, where he has forsaken us. Sometimes what we need is not necessarily the prayer that God would be present, because he is. Sometimes we need the prayer of, God, help me to be aware of your presence in my life. Help me to be aware of your presence at my work. Help me to be aware of my presence as I go into this meeting or whatever it is you find yourself in. I use this illustration. Imagine a garden hose that you hook up to the side of your house. And you turn on that spigot full blast. You know water's coming out. And you get to the end of the hose, but it's just a little trickle. Now, where does the problem lie? You do a little exploring of the hose, and you see, I've got some kinks in the hose. There are some places that is cutting off that water supply. It's not that the water supply needs fixed. It's just the hose needs unkinked. Sometimes in our life, that God has given us everything that he can give. He gave his son. There is nothing left for God to give. The spigot is full blast. What I find myself in my life, when there's times and I see, God, where are you? I look back in my life and into my schedule and how I'm spending my days, and I see I've got some kinks in it. It's not a God problem, it's a me problem. It's a how am I prioritizing my time problem. John the Baptist, when he was coordinating with Jesus, he said this, and I have just used this prayer more times than I care to even think, that he must increase. Well, how can he increase? He's on full blast. Well, the only way for him to increase in my life is for me to decrease. God, again, God has given everything he can give. There's nothing left that he can give. His presence is there. It's available. But sometimes I'm so focused on the other things in my life. I'm so focused on my phone and social media and overtime at work, whatever it might, we're all there. I'm praying for God's presence, but maybe a better prayer is, God, what are some things in my life that I should remove? Where are some areas where I have blocked off your presence from flowing into my life? 2 or 3 weeks ago, I made a pretty dramatic change in my own life, and I'm not saying that you should do this. I'm just saying it's an idea that you could have. I found myself increasing a little bit more than I should. And so one night, I just kind of went nuclear on my phone, and I deleted every single app that I absolutely could not live without, every one of them. And I just thought to myself, there's nothing wrong with them. I'm just using it too much, and I can always re-download things that I need. And so I just went nuclear on my phone. I have not downloaded a single app since. And you would not believe the time I have found in my life. I've been reading more. What a concept. I don't know if you know this or not, but they still print books. It's an amazing, like, it's paper and you can learn and you can grow. It's a fascinating world I'm finding myself in. It was a me problem. That probably is not a you problem. This is a me problem. But I said to myself, self, got a little bit too much increase in your life, a little too much noise in your life, and it's drowning out the more important things. Not only did it save all sorts of space on my phone, I've got them color coordinated now. I look at it sometimes and it just gives me this deep sense of peace because there's none of them that have just a single app on it. They're all in beautiful rows of four and they're color coordinated, and it just gives me such a sense of life is exactly how as it should be. You can take that for what you will. You could throw it away as well, but you can turn down some noise in your life. You can pray for wisdom. Do you find yourself struggling? Which way do I go? What should I do? Man, pray for some wisdom. God will give it to you. You can pray for God's presence. God, I just want to know that you're with me. I just need to have this sense that you're here in this chaos, here in this stress, here in this loneliness. You can be in a room full of people and feel lonely. You can sleep next to somebody every single night and be lonely. You can pray for presence. Not only that, you can pray for strength. Some of us find ourselves there, but just in that cave of, I just don't think I can go any further. I just don't know how much more of this I can take. It just seems like the more I try, the further back I get. I'm just running on this treadmill of life and I'm not making any progress. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe this marriage isn't worth it. I've been trying and trying and trying and it's not getting better. Maybe it's just not worth it. I've been trying to get this business started and nobody seems to be interested and nobody's coming. Maybe it's just not worth it. I feel like God gave me this dream. I feel like God gave me this plan and I went in that direction and I don't feel like I'm making any progress. Maybe I should just give up. Well, here's what you can do. You can pray for strength. Verse number 6 says this, listen to my cry. I'm really weak. You ever been there? What a great prayer. I just feel so weak. Everybody else around me seems like it's going. Everybody else around me seems like things are working for them. I just feel, man, I wake up and I just can't wait to get back to bed. I wake up and everybody else seems like it's blue skies and I feel like I'm just walking through a fog. You've got a friend in David. Listen to my cry, for I'm very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. You find yourself there. You find yourself just saying, I just don't know if it's worth it anymore. That God's promise for you is that there's strength that's not your own available. There is somebody that can come alongside of you and help carry the burden. That some of us are carrying burdens and shouldering responsibilities that we were never meant to carry. That there are things that we are invited to give to God, but we've just kept them for ourselves and trying to grit our way through it and say, God, I'll handle this on my own and I'll see you on Sunday. But there are some things in life that they're too much for me. And they're too much for you. And we have a heavenly Father who says, man, I can come cast all, this is what Peter said, cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares about you. Somebody said, I don't know what the author or theologian was, but he says that your problems, they can't be your problems and God's problems at the same time. You've got to decide who's carrying the weight of my life. Who's carrying the weight of these responsibilities? And that's not to say you shirk your responsibilities and stop going to work and stop going to marriage counseling. It's not saying that you just hands off and say, God, it's up to you. Now, that's not what anybody's talking about. He's just talking about who carries the stress? Whose strength is at the front of the line? If it's my strength, I'm going to get pretty worn out. But if God's strength is leading me and guiding me and encouraging me, I can take one step and then I can take the next step. And yeah, it's still hard, but I just know there's somebody alongside with me carrying this with me. Isaiah the prophet said it this way, he gives strength to the faint. Man, how many of us need that at some point? Strengthens the powerless, I'm there. Youths may become faint. And the youths may become faint and weary. Young men stumble and fall. In other words, that even from the outside, if you think everything should be okay, sometimes we're just not okay. The things that everybody else seems like, well, they're doing okay, maybe I should be doing okay. He's saying, listen, we're all in the same boat. Everybody struggles. Everybody's has a hard time. But those who trust in the Lord, they're gonna renew their strength. That's what I want for some of you this morning. Find yourself in a cave of just weariness, tired. I want so much that you would trust in God, that you would recognize the frailty of the human condition and say to yourself, yes, this is a struggle that I'm going through, but the other railroad is my strength is in God. Yes, I'm struggling, and my strength is in God. Yes, I'm having a bad week, and my hope is in God. Yes, this didn't work out, and I know that God is with me. They are parallel. They're happening at the same time. Renew their strength. They're going to soar on wings like eagles. They're going to run and not become weary. They will walk and will not faint. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. Find yourself in a cave. Go ahead and pray for some wisdom, some of you. Pray that you would know and experience God's presence. And ask God, God, is there some things in my life that I have, are there some kinks in me? Are there some things that are blocking me off from seeing and experiencing and knowing that you're with me? I want your presence in my life. God, I need your strength. I can't do this. Those three things are promises. You can have those. Those are available. God always says yes to strength. God always says yes to wisdom. God always says yes to presence. We can also pray for relief. God doesn't always say yes to this. Can you have wisdom? Always. Can you have God's presence? It's a guarantee. Can you have God's strength? No question. Will God always provide relief? He will not. And I wish that he would. I wish that every problem that I face, that I could pray, God, I got this going on, and God just says, got it taken care of, snaps his fingers, and it's solved. I want that so much for my life. I want that for your life. It's just not the reality. God's not promised that. Does God oftentimes, I think, come and supernaturally arrange things and work and change things? No question. And we're invited to pray that way. We're going to see in a second David prayed that way. It's not a promise, though. It's an invitation. But sometimes God allows us to go through the struggle and through the friction, not to get back at us, but to strengthen our faith and to sharpen us and to let us fully and more trust in God. Because it's easy, right, to trust in God when life is great. Money in the bank, marriage is great, kids are in good shape, I've got the job, 401k is looking good, my investments are up and to the right, everything's looking great. Man, trust is easy, right? Faith, man, God is so good. But then we find ourselves alone and under pressure and struggling. Where's the faith? I need to lean on God more so in those moments. And God, while he doesn't promise relief, he does promise that in that chaos, wisdom, strength, and presence. And we can pray, as we pray for relief, God, how can I lean closer into you in this? What can I learn from this? How can my faith be built in this? I am absolutely asking, God, would you remove this? Would you change this? In the meantime, while I'm waiting, how can I learn? How can I grow? What are you trying to show me and to teach me? But you can pray for relief. And I'll would be an honor to pray for you and with you for relief. David prayed for relief, verse number 7. Free me from prison. I don't want to be in the, you're saying, I don't want to be in this cave anymore. I don't want to be going through this anymore so that I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me because you deal generously with me. So we're allowed to ask God to remove our burdens. The Apostle Paul said that there was a thorn in his flesh is what he called it. And three times he said, I prayed to God. And those weren't three little, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Also, take care of this thorn. Yeah, that, it was like three seasons of his life. Deep, deep prayer. God, there is something happening. We don't know what it was. Some people think that he had terrible eyesight. So Sometimes we think that maybe it was terrible migraines that he was going through, but we don't know for sure what it was. But we know that he was struggling under this thing was plaguing his life, and it was making it, what's amazing, it was making it more difficult for Paul to do what God called him to do. God called him to plant churches and to write letters. So much of what we know about how to live this faith alive life comes from the writings of Paul. And he had this problem that kept him from doing what he felt God had called him to do. And so three times he said, I prayed, I was desperate. God, would you please take this away from me? And you can pray that same way. And I'll pray that for you. But Paul said, God said, no, I'm not gonna do that. But he didn't end with no. God said, no, I'm not going to remove that thing, but my grace is sufficient to you, for you. My power works best in weakness. And so Paul, with the gift of perspective later, I don't think it happened in the moment, but looking back on that time and when he realized that God was speaking, he said it this way, amazing. And maybe you're not there yet today, but you can get there. Paul said, I'm glad that that happened to me. I will boast, he said, in this thorn, in this problem, because it showed God's strength in my life. That I, if I had to do it over again, I would ask God for that thorn because it taught me something about God. I am glad that happened. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not there. I'm not glad about the caves. I'm not there yet. But what I can do is I can ask God for relief and know that even if he says no to relief, he says yes to his presence. He says yes to wisdom. And he says yes to strength. That we are allowed to ask God to remove our burdens. God is allowed to say no. And we can trust him in the meantime. Do you find yourself in a cave this morning? You don't have to wait for a particular place. You don't have to wait till next Sunday at 10:15 to pray. You go into that board meeting this week, you just pray. You go into that home that's a little chilly, little tense, a lot of friction there, you just pray. And they don't have to be pretty. That they can just be, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how to do this. And you just watch. If God doesn't give you the wisdom that you need, if God doesn't fill your life with the gift of his presence, and if God doesn't give you the strength to move, and maybe miraculously, God will remove some things, but you can know for certain that God's grace is there in the meantime. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I'm praying this morning for those that today's psalm is not simply a nice idea, but it's a current reality. That they find themselves in a place kind of like David, isolated and lonely, dark, confusing, chaotic, stressful, anxiety-ridden, and just don't know how is this all gonna work out. Lord, I'm praying that if they find themselves there today, that for those that need wisdom, that they would have wisdom. Lord, I'm praying for every single person that is in this moment at this crossroads of which way should we go? Give them wisdom. Would you show them the way? Maybe even if you're sitting there this morning, maybe if you need wisdom right there in your life, you might just open up your hands right there and say, God, I need that. God, I'm praying for wisdom in people. Would you illuminate their path? Thank you so much that your word says that your word is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. So I'm asking for that in people's lives and that you would give them the patience to wait for you. They wouldn't rush ahead of you. They wouldn't get ahead because of impatience, but they would be willing to wait. Lord, I'm praying for those, and maybe this is you. Maybe you open up your hands in your lab and say, God, I'm asking for strength in their life. They're just so tired. Been a long summer, been a long year. This cannot figure out how it's all gonna work. Lord, I'm asking for your strength. Lord, I'm praying that we would have the faith to cast all of our cares on you. We're so grateful that you care for us. Lord, I'm praying that you would strengthen the weak, that you would give them a strength that they can't have on their own. Lord, I'm praying for those that they just need to know today that you're with them. They feel so lonely. They feel so isolated. They feel like they're just going through this on their own. Lord, I'm praying for that person. would you give them a sense of your presence? You would give them a sense of your nearness. Point out things in our life that might be keeping us from you. Point out things in our life that might have kept you from being able to flow fully through us. Show us those things and help us to make the changes. Lord, I'm praying for relief. Lord, I'm praying that marriages would be restored. Lord, I'm praying for bodies that are sick and broken, that they would be healed. Lord, I'm praying for minds that are full of anxiety to be calmed. Lord, I'm praying for hearts that are broken, that they would be healed. Lord, whatever relief we need this morning, I'm praying that you would give it. I'm praying that you would do miraculous things. I'm praying that you would do what only you could do in some people's lives. And as we wait on what only you can do, I'm praying that the same promise that you gave to Paul would be true in our life, that your grace would be sufficient for us, that your power works best in our weakness. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that this week, that we can come to you any moment of any time and cry out and bring our hearts to you. And so, Lord, help us to have the faith to do that. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.